Hi, Hank.
Hi, Hank.
Hank, have you ever noticed the real-life superpower dogs here on Earth among us?
Yeah.
Of course, we believe all dogs are magical love and power beings. But today, we're going to talk about some dogs here on planet Earth that work. Hank, have you ever noticed a dog that is wearing a vest or a uniform that indicates that the dog has a job?
Yeah, at my school, there's a kid who actually owns a dog that's just to help, but has a vest.
Oh.
And thanks to my cousin Lindy, I also heard about them, especially the dogs that help blind people like Lindy.
That's right. We have a super awesome deaf-blind kid in our lives, our cousin Lindy, who came to visit us this summer.
Yeah, and the main reason she was here was to spend time with the super dogs and superhumans of a special place called Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Such a special place. Lindy was here this summer, during Disability Pride Month no less, to attend youth summer camp at Guide Dogs for the Blind. In this episode, you are going to hear our talks with Cousin Lindy before camp, youth outreach specialist Jane Flower, and then Lindy again after camp. Welcome to a special episode of The Adventures of Power Dog in Dogland with my little dog, Hank.
Hello.
And our very special superpowered dog trapped in a human body, cousin, who's kind of like a niece to me, Lindy.
Hello.
Lindy dog. Do you have a bark, Hank?
Yeah.
Can I hear it?
No.
Okay. Lindy, you had a little bark for us. Do you have another bark? That was really good. We are really excited to have Lindy visiting us. Number one, we love cousins. Number two, we are very excited because Lindy is about to go to camp at a really cool place called Guide Dogs for the Blind. How did you find out about Guide Dogs for the Blind?
I don't really remember. I think it was just a whole bunch of research. And my brain was just like, okay, yeah, we're going to latch on to the subject and learn everything about it.
So cool. Were you a little kid?
Yeah.
And you are a teenager now?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable sharing about your disabilities?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Do you want to tell us what you contend with?
Yeah. So two of mine are severe disabilities. I'm deafblind, but I still have remaining vision and hearing.
Oh, will you tell our listeners how you describe your eyes?
Oh, absolutely. So my right one is very decorative. It has vision, but it's not that useful. And then my left one is definitely the more useful of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have a useful eye and a decorative eye.
Yep.
That's pretty funny. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And then you have a hearing disability.
Yep.
You're deaf.
Yeah.
But you are able to hear us right now because you have some devices.
Hearing aids, my beloved.
Your beloved hearing aids, which, listeners, you should know they have purple and they're flexible with silver and they're really cool looking.
Yep.
And they wrap around Lindy's ears.
It's a model called Behind the Ear.
Behind the Ear model.
And then there's also one that I think goes in your ear.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is what you mostly adults with.
Oh, sure.
I do not want to switch to that. I've had BTEs all my life and I love them.
So behind the ears are called BTEs and you love them.
Yep.
They're more comfortable. And yeah. they work better for the way your body is made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, custom ear molds. I love mine.
Ooh, custom ear molds. That's really
cool. It's like white, blue, and purple.
Oh, that is really cool. Oh, yeah. Can you see those colors, Hank?
Yes.
Okay. And you have a third disability.
Yep. I have a disability called cerebral palsy, and it's the most common childhood motor disability. CP can be caused by a lack of oxygen. I actually had a brain bleed. It's interesting because my bleed on a scale of 0 to 4, 0 being nothing, 4 being the worst. Mine was on both sides of my brain. It was grades 3 and 4, yet I can still walk, which is surprising.
We took a walk this morning, and I have to say, you're a pretty great walker.
Yep.
It's pretty fun to take a walk with you. You shared with me about your voice the other night.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable sharing about that?
Yeah. So, not going to delve into the history of this because I have way too much history. I was born 3 months early.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hits the eject button on my mother, gets out of my mother. And so I had to have like 8 different surgeries. One of them was to fix a hole in my heart, but I was born at 1 pound 9 ounces.
Amazing.
So that's I'm
so little.
So I'm actually what you call a micropreemie.
A micropreemie.
But with the doctor having to do this stapling on my heart to get it to close, they ended up paralyzing my left vocal cord.
Your left vocal cord was yeah. paralyzed
yeah.
while getting heart surgery.
So my right one moves. My left one just doesn't, we don't think.
Mm.
And there could have been a surgery done on my vocal cords to try to give me more voice,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't do it.
Mm.
Just because I already have a lot of voice.
Yeah, you do have a lot of voice.
So, yeah.
And I'm excited to see how your voice changes as you grow.
Me too.
And I think it's really cool sounding.
Can my relationship with my voice please change already?
I would love to see that too, because I'm on team raspy voice.
Yeah.
I want to know, what are you most excited about for going to camp at Guide Dogs for the Blind?
I think working with the dogs, walking with the guide dog again, because I've done it before, but I haven't done it in a while, and I'm just like, give me harness handle, please.
So give me the harness handle, please.
I just want to be able to walk with the dog again.
Are you here at this camp because you're hoping to get your own guide dog for the blind someday?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get a guide dog. I'm not going to get a dog this time. It's more just learning about, like, what is needed to care for a dog. What is the guide dog lifestyle like?
Because
that's a lot different than, like, cane travel.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Because a good way that I've heard it be described is the white cane, which I actually have one of my own.
Right.
The white cane is described as an obstacle locator is to find the obstacles, but a guide dog is an obstacle avoider.
So a cane is an obstacle locator, and a guide dog is an obstacle
avoider.
Avoider. Oh, I love that.
Speaking of cane being an obstacle locator,
mm-hmm.
I'm a pretty visual traveler. Like, I can see obstacles
mm-hmm.
kind of before my cane does.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten jabbed in the stomach before a couple times.
Oh, no.
My orientation and mobility instructor, mm-hmm. she was like, if you haven't gotten jabbed in the stomach at least once, are you even using your cane correctly?
That's really funny.
Which is so true.
Could you tell me about the first guide dog you ever met?
The first one that I remember is one of my vision teachers back from when I was like 3, because I received early intervention. But yeah. back when I was 3, she had a golden retriever seeing eye dog named Kira.
And that is so cool because you really love golden retrievers,
yes.
don't you?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, on the golden retriever bit, I think that we determined that if you were a dog, you would be a golden
lab mix.
Yes. Right? Hank, if you were a dog, What breed do you think you would be?
So, because this is Power Dog, I wonder if anyone can guess what.
Oh, are you finally ready to divulge the secret behind Power Dog?
No.
Okay, we'll keep that secret.
I would be the same breed as Power Dog.
Oh, of course.
Makes sense.
And what breed is Power Dog?
I have no idea.
Right? A total mix.
Hey, super mutt.
A super mutt. Bitzers. A little bits of this and a little bits of that.
That is pretty cool.
I love it.
Do you think that if we had a character in The Adventures of Power Dog in Dogland, we might have a dog?
Yeah, so just going to say, in season 3, we are going to have a dog with disabilities.
Cool, hey. You want to give Lindy a high five? Nice.
I love it when shows have disability representation. Kids need to see that.
Right.
And also adults, too. We need to see people like us.
Right. Representation matters, huh? Hey, maybe that's what Disability Pride Month is here for.
Yeah.
Right? A little more representation. Does it sound good, Hank?
Very good. It sounds very good.
Okay, Hank. Are you ready to talk to Jane Flower? She's going to tell us more about the youth programs and the camp Lindy attended. Jane was born legally blind, and she has a guide dog herself.
Yep, let's give her a call.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Hank. Hi, Phoebe.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
We were wondering how the camp came to be. Guide Dogs for the Blind has a campus here in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nonprofit organization that doesn't receive any governmental funding. It's all on the support of donors and people who believe in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the camp doesn't cost the campers anything.
That's right. Yeah, I began working at Guide Dogs for the Blind in 2013, but the camp was happening prior to my coming on board. It was held on our California campus. It was held there in the student residence when there was not a class training program going on. Then I came on board, and it's called Camp GDB. And I just wanted to make it more of a summer camp with, you know, a real focus on guide dog mobility and the guide dog lifestyle. And so that's when I found the center up in Sandy, Oregon, which is really close to our Oregon campus. They have a dormitory and they have a campfire circle. They have a pool. They have a really lovely sensory garden. They have hiking trails. So just more of a camp-like setting. And so that's where we've been ever since. And it's fantastic. It's worked out really, really great. And it's easy to get to the Guide Dogs for the Blind campus for the kids to experience their Juno walk. And a Juno walk, just for maybe those people that don't know, is a simulated walk with a guide dog. And so it's an empty harness, and the participant, like Lindy, would hold on to the harness, and then the instructor would hold on to the front part of the harness, and they would get the feel of what it might be like to walk with a dog. And then when they get to once they do that, then they put an actual dog into the harness, and then they get to walk with the dog. So they get to kind of practice first, and then they put the dog in the harness, and they get to try walking with the real guide dog. And then we do some other fun activities on the campus as well. They spend some time in the vet clinic and in the kennels. They get to sit and groom and just love on some dogs. And then they also get to do what we call a guide dog overnight experience. So every camper gets to have a dog, spend the night with them one night. So they really get to experience what it's like having just a dog, because really having a guide dog is having a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, when the harness comes off, you know, they're like having a pet, even though they are a working dog, but it is just having a dog in your home. So, you know, all the dog hair, you know, you have to deal with, and you have to groom them and brush them and feed them and pick up after them, play with them, you know, all of those things that you do maybe with a pet dog, you have to do, you know, obviously with a guide dog as well. So really just kind of just giving them kind of a glimpse of what that might be like to have a dog with them.
Hank, I think you wanted to ask maybe what the experience is like for the dogs working with the campers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The dog arrives late in the day, and they get to feed them and give them water, take them out to learn how to relieve their dog and learn how to pick up after them. If they don't see, we teach them a technique how to do that.
Mm.
And then, it's funny. I always think people are going to be like, want to do that, you know, but everybody's right in there. They just have no problems. They get out there and learn how to do it. So that's fantastic. And then in the evenings, they get to groom the dog. So we hand them some grooming tools, a little brush and a comb and a little fun thing we call a Zoom groom. And they get to learn how to groom the dog, which is something you have to do when you have a guide dog, because they do go out in public all the time. And so you want them to be looking nice and clean. And then they get to just hang out with the dog and just have the dog with them. And the dog goes to dinner with them that night. So they get to learn what it's like, you know, sitting at a table, like they might when they have a guide dog out at a restaurant, how to get the dog to settle next to them and those types of things. And then they take them out again in the evening to relieve them. And the dog spends the night in their room. And then in the morning, they get up and feed, water, relieve the dog again. And then the dogs go back in the morning back to guide dogs. And then the next group over the next night will get their dog. So we split it up so we don't have to manage, you know, 14 kids and 14 dogs all at once.
Yeah, that does sound like a lot.
It's a lot.
One of the things I was curious about in mm-hmm. our little bouts of research mm-hmm. was the dogs that the kids get to spend some time with at camp. Mm-hmm. Are they graduates? Are they working professionals?
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, they're dogs. In this particular camp, we had dogs that were class ready, meaning they have gone through guide work training and they are ready to be matched with their person to be a guide dog. And then we also had dogs that came over that are not going to be a guide dog for one reason or another. And there's a variety of reasons why dogs don't make it as a guide dog. But these dogs were going to be given to families or participants in our Canine Buddy program.
Neat.
People who get the Canine Buddy dogs are considered clients of ours. The Canine Buddy dogs are dogs that just don't want to be guide dogs. There's a variety of reasons why a dog doesn't want to be a guide dog. And we won't ever force a dog into doing a job that they just don't want to do or can't do because of maybe a medical reason or some other type of reason. But they're lovely, wonderful, sweet, well-trained dogs because they have gone through the puppy raising home and also sometimes even some guide work training, but for some reason or another, maybe then got switched to be a canine buddy. And so we will gift one of those dogs to a family who has a child that's blind or visually impaired. The child has to be at least 5 years old in order for that to happen. But the new change is we also are gifting those dogs to adults as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody, you know, really prefers traveling with a long white cane. They really don't want to travel with a guide dog, but they are blind or visually impaired, but would just really benefit from kind of a companion dog in their home. And so we will gift one of those dogs to an adult, or there could be an adult also who maybe just can't qualify for a guide dog for one reason or another. Maybe they don't have good orientation and mobility skills. They don't travel independently for one reason or another. And so we would possibly place a canine buddy with them. And also those placements are now happening nationwide. They were originally just happening in our 10 Western states, but they're now national placements.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then all the benefits that somebody gets when they graduate with a guide dog, we assist with all veterinary costs if somebody needs it, you know, flea and heart guard protection, follow-up services. We have a client support center people can call. All of those benefits that are extended to our guide dog clients are now also extended to our canine buddy clients as well.
Oh, that's so neat.
It's cool. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. And just to be clear, those dogs are not service dogs. They're just pet dogs, companion dogs in the home.
Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And these are all dogs that are bred by Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about what kinds of dogs are bred by Guide Dogs?
Yeah. So we currently breed Labrador Retrievers and Golden Retrievers, and then we crossbreed those two. So for example, my retired guide dog, Anya, is a quarter Golden Retriever and three quarters Labrador. And it makes for a really lovely, lovely breed of dog as well. So those are the two breeds that we are currently using. We don't train as many Golden Retrievers as we do Labradors. And of course, Labradors come in all variations of yellows, you know, very white dogs to caramel color, variety of colors, and then black labs, of course. And every once in a while we get chocolate labs, which we never know when those are coming. It's, and I don't understand all of the the breeding and the genetics completely, but we do, they do know when the potential is there. You know, it's always a surprise when a chocolate lab pops out. Mm-hmm. So those are the dogs that we currently breed. And the Labrador Retriever worldwide is the number one breed used for guide work. And there's about 84 guide dog schools throughout the world.
Yeah. Hank, do you remember T. Lou?
Yeah.
The lab in our life?
Yeah.
That's my, Hank's granny's dog. Red lab from Indiana,
mm-hmm.
who was maybe had the soul of an anteater. His long licking tongue.
Oh yes.
But just the sweetest dog. And this dog was a cat charmer. Even cats that normally hated dogs love T. Lou.
Love T. Lou. That's a really cute name. Aw. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're just sweet. They're sweet. Their temperament is so perfect. You know, they're easy to train. They have a double coat so they can live in a variety of climates. Mm. And they're just great dogs. I mean, in general, you know, just easy.
I had a question too about the youth that come to camp. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about how having a guide dog is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're wondering what you may have observed might be the biggest surprises for you spending a little time living that lifestyle.
Mm. You know, what I always tell people, I think that they need to be really prepared for and ready for. And this is why we don't see as many youth under the age of 18 qualify or even apply for a guide dog. Is there's, I think, three things that come to mind. Being able to have independent travel skills. So being able to walk out your front door and travel to wherever you're going 100% on your own using your cane, including being able to independently cross streets. So understanding traffic patterns and knowing when it's safe to cross. A guide dog does not know that. A guide dog's job is to get their handler from point A to point B safely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the handler's job to give the dog directions, left, right, forward, halt. So at a street crossing, you know, you need to understand the traffic and determine when it's safe to cross and give the dog the forward command. However, they are trained to disobey a command if it's not safe.
Good.
So that's one huge reason why a lot of youth don't qualify, because a lot of times they don't have that independent travel. Parents, you know, are quite protective, understandably. And you know, the kids just aren't going out and doing those things on their own. And you know, how many teenagers have a ton of independent travel routes, right? In general, they just don't. But I think that's a big piece. I think the 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week care of the dog has to be the handler's responsibility, not mom and dad's, especially in the first 6 to 8 months of that working life of a new partnership. In order for a dog to really want to work, especially for somebody, that person has to be like the most exciting person to them in the world, right? They need to be the one that feeds them and plays with them and loves them and gives them all the attention and really gets them motivated, you know, to want to go out the front door every day and work, because guide work is hard. It's a hard job for dogs. Mm-hmm. Not to say mom and dad can't step in, or an adult spouse or roommate every once in a while to help with some of that care. But if mom or dad or brother, sister, husband, wife, whatever is the one that does all that and is so exciting to that dog, they're going to want to kind of like, well, why do I want to go with you when this person is here? Right. So it's really important for that bond. And then I think the third piece is the amount of social attention that somebody's going to attract when they have a guide dog. No. You know, those of us who are blind or low vision, when we use our long white cane to get around, I mean, most people will tell you people avoid them. They don't talk to them because they don't know what to say. It's kind of a detractor, the long white cane. People just, but the guide dog attracts all kinds of attention, whether it's wanted or not. And that is sometimes hard for people. Some people like that. Some people don't want that. And it takes time to stop and talk to people and explain the dog. And everybody wants to show you pictures of their dog. And, you know, and also as a young person, a lot of the attention you might get with your guide dog is not always wanted. People come up and want to pet or start petting your dog without asking, sometimes offer them food without asking. So a young person really needs to be able to have those advocacy skills for themselves to speak up and say, thank you for asking, or, you know, my dog's working, or please do not pet my dog, they're working, or please do not feed my dog. So really having those assertiveness type skills and advocacy skills to speak up for themselves. And that's not easy. It's not easy as an adult either, but especially for a young person, right?
Absolutely. So that is an interesting point too, that I would imagine camp might help.
Mm-hmm.
Just the community aspect of being able to attend camp with other people sharing your experience.
Right.
I would imagine might help with advocacy skills. Yes.
Yeah. And not just around dog, just in general, you know, just being able to speak up for yourself and what you need. Right.
Right.
In general.
Right.
And, you know, it's a lot of, again, parents, you know, tend to speak up for their kids. And when I talk to parents, I try to tell them, you've got to give them some freedom, got to let go a little bit. I can understand. I mean, my mom, you know, I've been blind, visually impaired since I was born. And so it's very, very important. I mean, you'll disable your child more if you do that, than if you give them some freedom and mm-hmm. teach them how to speak up for themselves and advocate for themselves.
Yeah, we are very proud of our family for how much emphasis they've put on independence for Lindy, for mm-hmm. sure, and mm-hmm. self-advocating.
Oh, she's amazing. She just, such a smart, smart, smart young lady. Just, mm-hmm. Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have noted that we also believe that Lindy is a dog in a human body. Kind of a theme for our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so sometimes we call her Lindy Dog.
Lindy Dog.
Which she loves.
Yeah.
And Hank is a bit of a dog himself.
Yeah.
We are developing a character for our podcast that is blind.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe has some hearing loss too, mm-hmm. like Lindy. Mm-hmm. Lindy's going to get to choose the name of the character and be our disability consultant.
Uh-huh.
So we've got some broader representation in our stories.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that popped up for us is that if you were on a planet of all dogs,
mm-hmm.
we were wondering what you think a good guide animal would be on an all animal planet.
Other than a dog?
Yeah, because it would be the guide animal for the dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No humans.
No humans, but the guide dog needs a guide.
No primates, right, Hank?
Okay.
Maybe squirrels, maybe
Gosh, you know, my first thought would be a dolphin, but that's in water. Ooh. So that wouldn't work.
Well, we do have sea puppies. We have otters.
Oh, you do?
Uh-huh.
Oh, and I would say a sea otter, seahorse.
Oh, a seahorse. Something seahorse. Really, right? Because ocean animals are so intelligent.
They're so smart. Yeah. Yeah.
You need one for a land? Well, we've seen otters.
Okay. Let me think of a land one, because a dog's kind of small. So it'd have to be, how about, I'm trying to think of something, like a cat. No, I don't think a cat would work. I think a cat has their own agenda.
The cats on Dogland have been real tricksters too.
They have. Oh, yeah. Okay.
They've had a secret society.
Mm-hmm.
They've been running the show on an island called Meowie.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I could totally see. What about, I would say, how about a horse? I think a horse would be great, because they do, you know, they walk on trails. There are guide horses.
Miniature horse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So horses, otters. Yeah. Squirrels. You still like the squirrel idea, huh, Hank?
Well, yeah. So there's squirrels and horses.
Do you have any other questions for Jane?
No, I can't really think of any more.
Well, Jane, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Phoebe. Yeah. Hank, it was nice to meet you. Yeah. And when you talk to Lindy, tell her I said hi.
I will.
And sending her a huge hug. She's a hugger. I love it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so
much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Are we ready to check back in with Lindy and see how it went?
Yep. Let's call Lindy.
Hello?
Hello.
What do you think now that you have been to camp and you're home?
It was definitely an interesting and fun experience. When I got there Monday, we kind of got everything unpacked, learned the layout of just where we were staying, all that kind of stuff. Then Tuesday, we went up to the Guide Dogs for the Blind campus.
Cool.
And I did my Juno walk, which Jane explained in her interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to walk with a guide dog again, which was great.
Yay, that's what you wanted more than anything.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then I did get to do a dog overnight.
Oh, yeah, that must have been pretty exciting.
It was.
What happened and how did it make you feel?
I actually started kind of questioning if a guide dog would be the right thing for me, just because I'm such a visual traveler. Like, I've used my vision to navigate, but like, that is kind of hard to break that habit.
Oh.
And I wouldn't want to ruin a guide dog's training, but also, like, I'm not going to be with sighted people all the time.
Yeah. So you like, don't. Can I back up and just repeat what you said? You don't want to ruin a guide dog's training, but on the other hand, you are not always going to be with sightlings, as you like to call them.
Yep.
So has it got you thinking about having a different type of service dog?
I definitely want a guide dog. It's going to mean less visual fatigue and stares are my enemy.
Stairs are your enemy. A guide dog could help you with that.
Yeah. Like, a guide dog is trained to stop at changes in elevation. So think curbs, stairs, that kind of thing. So, like, I definitely think that once I go off to college, I do think my cane could be helpful because now I'm with a bunch of sightlings. And I'm also in a car most of the time.
Yeah. So you're saying that your white cane might be your main tool right now because you're with a bunch of sightlings.
Yeah. And this is definitely going to be a years-long process because I need orientation and mobility training. We also need to figure out which type of dog is best because I have too many disabilities.
Right. You have too many disabilities. Lindy, I'm curious, did you make friends?
I definitely did make friends. And the staff at camp was awesome. Jane is great. And I wish I could see her again.
Yeah. You need to keep in touch with Jane. Hank has a question for you.
Yeah. Have you thought about a name that we should name our disabled character for season 3?
My brain is just working overtime on all the thoughts.
All the thoughts?
Yep.
What are you guys thinking about either Lindy or Lyndon?
I like Lyndon.
What do you think? Do you like Lyndon?
Yeah.
So sounds like maybe we'll have a new character named Lyndon.
I'm also happy to be your resident disability advisor.
Thank you. We need you as our resident disability advisor.
Yep.
Hank has another question too.
Yep.
What color was the dog you worked with?
The dog I had overnight was a black Labrador. And then the dog I walked with was, as I like to call it, raw marshmallow compared to your toasted marshmallow.
Oh, and you have your raw marshmallow versus a toasted marshmallow?
Yeah.
And then everything in between. You know, marshmallow feels like a good name for a dog or a character too.
Yes.
You ready to ask that question?
Oh, yeah. Also, after talking to Jane about what kind of guide animal would help a dog on Dogland, I came up with a new animal.
Okay, what is it?
A squatter.
Yeah.
It's half squirrel and half otter. And horse.
Oh, right. It's got a dash of horse, miniature horse in it, too.
Yeah, because there actually are many horses. And that can be beneficial if maybe someone doesn't like dogs. Maybe they're allergic to dogs.
What kind of guide animal do you think would be perfect to help a dog on Dogland? Maybe to help Lyndon.
I definitely do like the idea of a mini horse, but I think not a lot of people are familiar was not as an idea.
For imagination's sake, what do you think about this squatter, squirrel horse otter?
Honestly, that's amazing. And why does it not exist?
Right, Hank?
Yeah. It should be a thing.
It should be a thing.
It should be.
So we're going to make it a thing.
All right, we're going to make it a thing. So, Lindy, what would be your advice to a young person who hasn't been to camp yet but is interested in camp?
Consider, do you like dogs? Because like Jane was saying, yes, with a guide dog, you get a mobility tool, but you also get a dog.
Right.
But then camp is really nice because having the ability to walk with a guide, but then also having the dog overnight, really can kind of help you make that decision, like, am I ready for that responsibility? Do I want that responsibility?
That seems like really solid advice.
Definitely just consider yourself. I would say camp is a really fun experience and I want to do it again.
I was wondering if you wanted to do it again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that you got to do that.
Yeah.
Lindy, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. And would you like to do a group Howl of Harmony with me and Hank?
Yes.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Ow!
Lindy, do you have another bark for us? Oh, she does such a good bark. Now, you have to admit, one reason to love your raspy voice is that you nail a bark perfectly.
Yeah.
Yep. We like Lindy's voice, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Peace out.
Thank you, listeners. If you liked what you heard, you can see more content at our website, PowerDogAdventures.com. There you can sign up for our infrequently emailed newsletter and also submit any good dog jokes. And we'll be forever grateful if you feel like telling your friends about the show too. If you are looking for more great shows, then please check out the other members of Kids Listen, a grassroots organization dedicated to high-quality audio for kids and families. There are well over 100 great shows to find there. Ask your grown-up to check out kidslisten.org to find out more. Special thanks to our creative partner, the inimitable Jason Rourke, who makes these stories sound extra good with his wise counsel, recording, sound design, and even original music. This podcast has been made possible in part by funding provided by the Regional Arts and Culture Council in Portland, Oregon. Thank you, RAC. It has been made even more possible by listeners like you. Thank you so much for your support, and extra big thanks to our Patreon patrons, who get early access to all of our episodes ad-free, as well as goodies and merch and birthday shout-outs at any level of support. We are not joking even a little when we say we could not do this without you. The Adventures of Power Dog in Dogland is created in the ancestral lands of the Cowlitz, Multnomah, Cathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, Tualatin Kalapuya, Wasco, Molalla, Watlala, Bands of the Chinook, and other indigenous nations and tribes of the first people who made their homes along the rivers here in what is now called Portland, Oregon. And special thanks to our own Granny and Gramps, who helped us write and record our Power Dog theme song that you'll hear at the end of the episode.
Hey, Granny and Gramps, what key did y'all say that's in?
It's in D for Dogland.
dogs till they're done. Power dog, you won't give up. When we're chasing trouble and we're riding across the stars, sure he's right there beside us, just holding on. Give up, power dog, he won't give up. Chases problems till they're done. Power dog, he won't give up. When we're chasing trouble and we're zooming through the stars, sure he's right there beside us, just a zapping near and far. Power dog, he won't give up. Power dog, he won't give up. Chases problems till they're done. Power dog, he won't give up. When we're hugging a volcano or we're straddling a storm, power dog is right beside us at every little turn. Power dog, he won't give up. Power dog, he won't give up. Chases problems till they're done. Power dog, he won't give up. At night, his fanning foxes. In the days, his platypuses. We herd him up and whoop him down. Our dog's right beside us. Come with me to Dogland. We've got special tales to tell. And when we come together, all our tails will wag as well. So come with me to Dogland, we've got special tales to tell. And when we come together, all our tails will wag as well.
Woof, woof,
howl!
Hey parents, are you dedicated to raising amazing LGBTQ+ allies? Or maybe your kids are queer and trans and you want them to feel confident and affirmed in their LGBTQ+ identity. That's incredible, but I know it's way easier said than done and I want to help. Hi, I'm Linz Amer, the creator of Queer Kid Stuff, and I want to connect with you and your family through Rainbow Storytime. My best stuff friend Teddy and I are going to help you raise amazing allies and affirmed queer and trans kids through weekly virtual story time sessions featuring engaging sing-alongs, community-building show-and-tells, and curated LGBTQ+ picture books on diverse topics. The fall session of Rainbow Storytime starts September 6th, and spots are limited, so register while you still can. Head over to queerkidstuff.com/rainbowstorytime and register with the code POWERDOG to get $25 off. Rainbow Storytime, helping you raise a generation of amazing allies and affirmed queer and trans kids, one story at a time.